Hi, this is Gurusi Singh and you're listening to my Thick Accent Podcast. So hear me out. There's a question that makes many people offended, which is, where are you from? But for me, it's just a question asked by someone who is curious about your looks, accent, or mannerism. Instead of taking offense, I see it as an opportunity to share my unique cultural background and experiences. It's a chance to bridge gaps, foster understanding, and celebrate diversity. Embracing this question can lead to enriching conversations that break down stereotypes and promote a more inclusive society. And today, we have a guest who knows a thing or two about the intricacies of this question. Originally from Nigeria, he has lived in various parts of the world, from the UK to Nigeria, and even pursued his master's in marketing in Cyprus. He now teaches health marketing at Fanshawe College and has some interesting insights to share about cultural shock, acceptance, and the promising future he envisions in Canada. Let's explore how his experiences have shaped his unique perspective on life and his journey as a newcomer to this diverse and welcoming country. Please welcome Desiree.
Thank you. It's so amazing to be part of this. I love what you're doing, Gurusi. It's an honor to be here.
Likewise, Desiree, it's an honor to have you on the podcast. Thank you for doing this and very excited for this conversation. So before we get into your journey and all the experiences that you have had in Canada, I want to start by asking you two questions. Mm-hmm. First is, tell me this one habit that you have adopted that has changed your life, or something that has become your second nature?
Thank you for that question, Gurusi. If there is anything I have adopted recently or from time past, it will be reading. I love to read, and I am also a writer myself. By the virtue of what I do from day to day, I write from time to time. And so reading and writing, it's something that I've come to adopt. It is part of me. Mm-hmm. I also have my own books. Yep. I am an author. I have the last one is on project management, managing projects, managing systems and structures, mm-hmm. And I have that on Amazon. So again, reading and writing is something that is now part of me. I mean, and it's going to live with me for the rest of my life.
Awesome. And I'm sure it also helps you to articulate your thoughts a little better as well. By reading, obviously, you learn, add more things to your vocabulary, but also helps you to articulate your thoughts when you start writing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So the other question I want to ask is, what is this one cultural aspect or tradition from your home country that you have managed to preserve or cherish up until today in Canada?
Coming into Canada became like a different ball game entirely. You know, we met great people. Canada is a great, fantastic country with amazing people, very polite, people going by, their duties in a very respectable manner. Yeah. And that is also what resonates with me from back home. Nigeria is a very amazing country. We have great, fantastic, loving people, peaceful people. We love education. We love research. We love so many things. We love nature. And so that is one of the things that really resonates. That's one of the culture. It's not a culture shock because this is what we're faced with back home. Mm-hmm. This is what we're used to back home. And that is what we met also in Canada.
Okay. But is there something in terms of, something which is unique to your house, for example? It could be in terms of the language, in terms of like a certain food that you still preserve up until today in Canada.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I would say food. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because, we're not used to the normal Canadian way of eating. Yeah. And, coming into Canada, we decided, we're just going to have to stick to what we know how to eat. Mm-hmm. We love a particular kind of food, local food. And when we came into Canada, we brought quite a number of that, okay. With us. Yeah. And from time to time, we'll go back, you know, to make orders to bring to Canada. And Canada has given us that platform. I mean, very liberal country for us to bring our own local food. So, yeah, I would say food is one aspect that we have kept and will keep keeping. Well, maybe the kids will change their mind, but for me, I'm not changing my mind. My wife is not changing her mind.
Okay, awesome. Okay, since you're talking about the food in Nigeria, let's just get back to your home country. Tell us a little bit about your time you spent there and a little bit more about the formative years you spent there.
Yeah, thank you so much for that question. Like I said, Nigeria is a very loving country. It's in West Africa, and it is the most populous country in Africa. We have a modern state taking its present territorial shape as a result of the 19th century British colonization. You know, we're colonized by the British, and we gained independence in 1960. And so many things have happened since then, you know, in terms of political, social happenings, economic, education, research. But one thing that is certain is Nigeria is still in the growing stage. I wouldn't say we are a developing country, because if we say we're a developing country, then that leaves us to be like maybe still like the Stone Age. But no, I mean, Nigeria is really advanced. There's still a lot of work to do. There's still much to do, but it's a great country again. Still, people back home are doing really well. And anywhere Nigerians find themselves, they're doing amazingly well. In any country they find themselves, in Canada, in the US, in Europe, anywhere, in other parts of African countries, they're doing amazingly well. And so that is one good thing I would, you know, say about Nigeria.
Okay. And how was it like just growing up there? Something that, what the focus was on growing up within your family?
Well, growing up in Nigeria was quite unique because, you know, there wasn't too much technology then. Like I'll tell my kids, oh, you have iPad, you have, you know, this gadget, you have this to play with. I didn't have all of that. So it's just a different ball game. But we had our own style of learning. Growing up was fun because there was this socio-cultural thing that we kept. You know, we knew each other. We played with each other. You know, you go outside your own space to go play with other kids, you know, in another zone, in another region. Or in your street, right? So there was just that close knit between people, and you know, growing up again was fun. Education was a priority in Nigeria. Everyone was, you know, expected to go to school. Well, some people probably didn't make it to school due to financial issues. But at the same time, it was a priority. Every child in Nigeria, every home in Nigeria took education as a major priority. And so we went to school. We did all the things that every other kid anywhere in the world did. And again, it was fun, lovely places to visit. The family culture held in, you know, in high esteem, nature really cherished. Basically, all of the things we've noticed in Canada as well are all the things that, you know, that is back home as well.
So, you know, I have had the pleasure of speaking with people on the podcast who are from Nigeria and even like, you know, offline. And they tell me about, you know, how the three languages are there. One of, I always forget the third one. I remember the two, which was Igbo and Yoruba, I believe. And then there was a third one as well, which you can share with me. And also tell us, like, what city are you from?
Oh, yeah. So I am from Oyo State.
Okay.
And I grew up in Lagos.
Okay.
And talking about language, Nigeria is a multinational state, you know, that inhabits more than 250 ethnic groups.
Oh, wow.
And as a matter of fact, we speak over 500 distinct languages.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And they, I mean, we all identify with a wide variety of culture. So it's a highly multicultural state or country. But the largest ethnic groups are the Hausas, the Yoruba in the west, and the Igbos in the east.
Okay.
So those are the three main tribes or ethnic groups, as you may call it. And yeah, and talked about the language. We have Hausa, we have Yoruba, we have the Igbo language, which are the major language. But like I said, we have over 500.
Okay, awesome. I had no idea about these. I mean, of course, they did share with me these languages and you know how multicultural it is, but I didn't know about like 500 different languages. That's crazy.
Over 500. Yes.
You also lived in UK for some time, and then you also went to Cyprus for your master's. Tell us about those experiences and those decisions to travel.
And you know, that was also a very, very interesting part of our lives. My wife actually studied in the UK. Mm-hmm. Okay, she had a master's degree in the UK. I had my master's degree in Cyprus. Mm-hmm. But a few times I went visiting in the UK. So I stayed in the UK, just, you know, I'll say briefly, you know, 3 weeks, I go back, come back. 2 weeks, I go back, you know, so it wasn't like maybe 6 months at a stretch in the UK. But, you know, we went to different places, Milton Keynes, Liverpool, London, and all these great, beautiful places and cities. Yeah. And one thing that resonates with us is the UK is also a very fantastic place to live in. You know, wonderful people, great atmosphere. They have their own culture as well. You know, as you already know, there is Scotland, there is England, there is Wales and Northern Ireland. Yeah. So those four countries make up UK. Mm-hmm. So we were in England, which is just one part of the United Kingdom.
Of course, yeah.
And then going to Cyprus, you know, I love academics. I love research. I love going to new places. I love, you know, meeting new people. And that's one of the reasons I decided, you know what, I would love to, you know, do my master's degree in Cyprus. Mm-hmm. And that's what took me there. Cyprus is a loving, beautiful country. It's an island. It is massive, beautiful. It is geographically in West Asia, but culturally and geopolitically, Southeast European. Yeah. Okay, and it's Cyprus is the third largest and third most populous island in the world. Mm-hmm. Beautiful sea, beautiful tourism spot or location. Yeah, it's amazing. The sea, the Mediterranean Sea, which is the one they have. Lovely. I think it's one of the most gentle sea in the world. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed my stay living in Cyprus. Mm-hmm. Wonderful people, great food. Oh my goodness. Oh, I miss the kebab. kebab and yogurt, you know, lovely, lovely atmosphere. If there is one place I would love to go again, it would be Cyprus, just, you know, to see the lovely sea, lovely people, amazing people, great culture and all of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, sounds very fascinating.
You should go.
For sure. I should add that to the list. But I also read and heard, Desiree, that English is less spoken than Turkish or Greek in Cyprus, right? But I wanted to educate us, like, how was your experience like in terms of, you know, communication there?
Well, it was a bit of a challenge, to be honest with you, because English was my main language.
Yeah.
But I had to live in a country where I have to learn how to communicate in Turkish or Greek. And it was a bit of challenge. You know, even getting a job was, you know, relatively impossible, to be honest. Because of the language barrier. The job is there for you. Mm-hmm. They want to employ you. And you're speaking English. Excuse me, please. I need a job. Do you have any vacancy? And they say, oh, my friend, brush, 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 brush. And you'll be like, oh, my goodness. How are we supposed to communicate, you know? Or you call the taxi. Hey, taxi. I'm going to, you know, you mention the place. And then it takes you somewhere else. And then, you both have to now, you know, battle it out. Oh, this is not, no, this is not a place. And he's telling you, oh my goodness, how are we supposed to manage this? So it was a bit of an issue, to be very honest. But other than that, the cost of food, housing, utilities, even education was relatively low. I mean, not so expensive like other European countries. So that was something that was that we took away. That was something, well, if the language barrier is a big issue, all these other things are just gonna be okay enough to stay in this country. So it made us stay.
So let's pivot towards your Canadian journey, Desiree. You moved to Canada in 2019 with your family, with the permanent residency with PR. But first, tell us about the decision to move. What influenced the decision and the duration it took you to come to Canada?
To be honest with you, there are several reasons why people relocate abroad, you know, why they move abroad. And for me, it was a combination of so many things. Not like Nigeria wasn't giving us the best that we want, because Nigeria is a land of opportunity as well. There is so much you can gain living in that country. But, you know, I also wanted to explore a better quality of life. You know, I love adventure. I love exploration. Even though I made up my mind that Canada is the last country, I'm not going anywhere anymore. I haven't lived in, you know, different countries. For me, it was more of the career opportunities, the education. We cannot deny the fact that it's much more better here. In terms of all these things I mentioned, quality of life, education, access to technology, you know, and all of those. So, yeah, so it was more of having access to all of that that made me say, you know what, we would pursue the opportunity of coming to Canada. And we did. And we got, you know, Canada gave us that privilege, gave us that opportunity to come here with my family. So, and we've been here for 4 years and a half from now, going to 5 years. And it's been an amazing journey. We've met great people. You know, we've made families out of the people we met here. Canada recognizes community building. So they also, they also give you the opportunity to have your own little community, right? So the Nigerian community here is solid. I live in London, Ontario, and it's the Nigerian community is one of the best in Canada. Closely knitted. Amazing group of people, and we're doing great things. So coming to Canada for me was more of adventure, exploration, you know, seeking for more better quality life, education. I want to learn more other career opportunities that may come.
And how long did it took you, the whole process of getting the PR and moving?
Well, I would say we were among the few people that were very lucky. You know, sometimes it could take months, it could take years.
Absolutely.
But for us, it took, I would say, 1 year, you know, from getting the document, from uploading the document. As a matter of fact, we got rejected.
Oh, okay.
At the first instance, we got rejected because I mistakenly uploaded my son's birth certificate for my daughter. And because of that error, they say, you know what, we're not disqualifying you from applying again, but we have to start your application. You have to start your application all over. So we just put all of our documents together one more time, and then we started the process. And within 1 month of submitting all of our documents, within 1 month of about 8 weeks, thereabout, 6 weeks, we got our PR. And that was it for us. That was, you know, the change, the game changer. That was what changed everything for us. We were so excited. And and that's how we started our Canadian journey.
I'm sure it must be a game changer. But tell us about your first day when you landed. Some initial thoughts or emotions.
Oh, yeah. So because I've lived in different or visited different countries, in different places in the world, I used to feel like, oh, how cold can it be? You know, talking about the weather in Canada, how cold can it be? Oh, I've seen minus 12. I've seen, you know, and then...
Until you came to Canada.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the first day we came in, I remember everyone telling me, when you come in, make sure you wear your gloves, put on a very thick jacket, and all of that. And I was like, come on, I don't need that. Oh, come on. And man, coming into Canada, the weather was, no one told me to put on my gloves. I was like, what? And it was minus 18 on that day. I would never forget. I came outside the airport and I ran back inside. Went, what? this is more than deep freezer. This is, man. But beyond that, we met great people. The immigration officers were really amazing. It feels good to hear the word welcome to Canada. It feels so good. We've heard so much about Canada. We've read so much about Canada. They're so polite. They're so friendly. They smile. They do all of that. I saw it for the first time when we came in our very first day. And I went, wow. I mean, if everyone is this nice all over the world, the world is going to be a better place. Yeah. And, that was one of the things that kind of resonated with us. Oh, wow, this is a beautiful country. Look at the staff. Look at the officers. Look at, you know, and then the cold aspect of it as well. But that's my first experience coming into Canada for the
Yeah. So you said that you have obviously lived in, you know, all around the world, different countries, different places. And you were also telling me that obviously you just mentioned that how Canada is so accepting and warm and welcoming towards immigrants. But were there any significant cultural differences comparing it to the other places that you have lived in? Is something that completely caught your eye or something that you can share?
Oh yeah. So, looking into acceptance, and I must be very honest with you, coming from the angle of a Black person, I think it's a little bit different in Canada. There is racism everywhere. Even in my country, I mean, there is biasness, there is, you know what I mean, there is preferentiality in place. But in Canada, it's slightly different. And that's one of the things that we first pointed at, you know, myself and my wife, that it's slightly different. The acceptance, the friendliness, the welcoming is just totally different compared to every other country we've been to. Maybe in other countries, maybe, they may look at you in the face and just say, hey, I don't like you. I don't like you.
Okay.
But it's different here, because even if they don't like you, they still smile with you, kind of like, well, I may not like you, but my system, my culture, the country I live in says I should be nice, and I have to be nice. This is who I am, right? I mean, I just have to be nice because it's a fair world. And it's just totally different, to be honest. I mean, it's nothing compared to everywhere we've been. I mean, everywhere. I mean, talking about Cyprus, talking about UK, talking about other African countries we've been to, talking about some other European countries we've visited. It's just different, absolutely different here in Canada.
I just want to go a little bit more deeper into that. Do you remember any certain anecdotes, certain instances that you came across that you were kind of like taken aback, then, whoa, what did she just say? Or what did he just say? Or what just happened here?
Yeah, if I remember very well, I would say, for instance, when we came into Canada and everyone asked you questions like, are you okay? Where I'm coming from or where I visited, no one really cares.
Okay.
Like, no one really cares why should I ask you if you're okay? Right. And, you know, my wife was pregnant at the time when we came in, and we'll go into the store and you see people coming to us and be like, hey, you're expecting a baby. What's the name of your baby? Oh, hope you guys are keeping warm, keeping good. All of those niceness was like, what? Come, where? Are we? What is happening? Like,
okay.
Like, I mean, we're coming from another country where not that they're not nice. It's not like they're evil people. No. But maybe they don't express it well enough, like they express it here in Canada, right? Yeah. So people looking after you, people asking you questions if you're good, if you're okay, and all of that. It's something that kind of eat us like hard. Like, whoa, this is a lovely place. And yeah,
I'm actually glad to hear that you highlighted the good experiences. I'm very happy to hear that, because it's always the bad ones or which kind of like stayed with you at times. But tell me, Desiree, what lessons have you learned, you know, through these good and bad experiences, or from these, you know, diverse cultural experiences that you can share?
Oh, yeah. Well, and to be honest with you as well, Gurasis, there's also been some bad experiences. Yeah. But I would say 1 out of 10 against any other country, maybe 5 over 10 in any other country. Maybe in Canada is 1 person out of 10, like looking into your face and telling you, go back to your country. And, you know, you hear those kind of words sometimes. But in the midst of all of this, one thing kept us strong. We know we came to the right country. We know we are in a country that is going to give you the opportunity you want, if only you can believe. Because a lot of people have their challenges coming in as a manager, coming in as a doctor, coming into Canada as, you know, a professional, and then having to start all over. It's a big challenge. And I resonate with that, to be honest, because we also had to start from the scratch.
Of course.
But again, beyond all of those bad experiences, like you lose, because we lost everything technically. I mean, coming here to start all over, you know, you have to build your resume from the scratch. They tell you don't have enough Canadian experience. Once they hear you and you have the accent, oh, come on. Or your name is not sounding the way they should, like the normal way they know, your chances are so limited. So yeah, as much as I can say all of those good experiences, I know there is also the bad one. I'm not going to deny all of that happening. But again, in all of this, we know this is a great country, and this is a country that's going to give you any opportunity as long as you keep pushing.
You know, obviously that you came with your family and you came with like a certain experiences from Nigeria. And I'm sure you have had like some sort of preparation before coming. But was there something that you were not prepared for that you came across?
Well, it's the rejection of my background, my career background. Coming into Canada, I was coming with high hopes. I was a manager back home. And, you know, I had people working that I worked with, subordinates. Coming into a country, I thought, okay, I might not start at the peak. Maybe I would start in the mid-range, and then walk my way to the top. But no, coming into Canada, we started from the bottom. So that was a total rejection of, I mean, everything we've built, everything I have ever been, that was a not so good experience, right? Again, we've had to deal with that, and we're glad for what we had today and where we are right now. And we know it's only a matter of time. We'll build our way to the top. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, of course. And how did your children integrate into this new culture, new society? Tell us about that.
Well, to be honest, funny enough, they were so fast to integrate. Very, very fast. You know, making friends as fast as I can't imagine how very fast they make friends in school. They come back, tell of all of those beautiful stories about their classroom. And we sometimes ask them, oh, do you miss your school back home? And they'd be like, no. I'd be like, what? know, they kind of integrated very fast, maybe because they were still little. My eldest, Dan, was just 4 years old.
Okay.
and no, 5 years old. My second was 2 years old. Mm-hmm. No, three. Yeah, three. Five and three. Yeah. So it didn't take so long for them to get used to the system. They loved the weather. Mm-hmm. They loved the people. When we were still having a struggle eating the Canadian kind of food,
yeah,
my kids were already asking for, the Canadian meal, right? Mm-hmm. The fries and chicken, all of those great Canadian food, right? Which we were still having a hard time to eat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so they integrated very fast. Yeah, that was a good thing for us. It didn't take us too much to, learn how to also be part of that group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're doing really well. They're doing really well today. The kids are doing really amazingly well.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, they want to ask you, can we make a visit to Nigeria sometime?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, oh, sure. You sure you want to go to Nigeria? They'd be like, yeah, we can try. Let's go. Let's just, but to be honest, they don't remember anything about Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell them, do you remember you used to do this back home? They'd be like, oh, really? Did I do this? Oh, yeah, you did that. They don't remember any of such anymore. So that's how fast they integrated.
Yeah. No, very, very similar responses I have got from other immigrants I've spoken to on the podcast. And they have said the same, that children were the quicker than us to really integrate into this new world. And they were really happy. Mm-hmm. And somebody I spoke to who was from India, and she said, I asked my children that, oh, we are planning to visit. Do you want to visit? They were like, no, I'm happy here. I'm happy with my friends in school here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think it's the same experience almost everywhere. Just very few kids come in and don't like this place. Very few.
So Desiree, you have mentioned that the question, where are you from, is often asked of you. And it's a question that can sometimes make people offended. However, you have taken a complete different perspective on it and seeing it as a question of curiosity. Can you share with us some of your personal encounters with this question and how you have chosen to respond to it?
Thank you for that question. To be honest, I personally do not see anything wrong with where are you from. I'm always very glad to let them know, my origin or my history or my background is West Africa. And mm-hmm. then they kind of ask again, where in West Africa?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, Nigeria. Oh, and they're like, okay. Oh, yeah. So a few times we get that a lot. Some people mean it in a very good way.
Yeah.
And some people mean it in a very, very bad way. They're telling you, go back to your country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something we accept well,
mm-hmm.
to be honest. A few times I just let it go because, mm-hmm. You don't want to engage people like that, negative people. I try as much as possible to stay away from them. But a few times we get that a lot. If it means well, I'm always able to read it. If it means well, I'm always happy to share. And I ask them the same question. Where are you from too? And they'll be like, from Canada. I say, no, I'm talking about your background.
Yeah.
Because they'd be like, oh yeah, my granddad is from Croatia. And then they go a little bit into the history and the background, because somehow I think everyone immigrated here at some point. Maybe it's 100 years ago, 80 years ago, 50 years ago, 10 years ago. At some point, people came into this country to make it what it is today.
Yeah.
So when we hear questions like, where are you from? Sometimes I see if it's positive, I respond, in a very positive way.
Mm-hmm.
If it is negative, I just let it go. I mean, I just let it slide. I don't want to brew negativity and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just let it go. The reality is people ask these questions from time to time. I remember working as a customer service agent for a telecommunications company, and I don't want to mention the name. And a few times, because I also do sales, so a few times when I cold call, you just call random people. First thing they tell you, get out of my line or go back to your country and all of mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you just smile because that's how we've been trained anyway. Yeah. Hey, you're doing a customer service job. You can't, hey, what do you mean? You know, and then, no, you don't want to go that way, right? Yeah. So, again, I just let it go. I just let it fly. You know, just don't think about it. Move on, move ahead. And the good ones among us don't see any offense. When they mean it well, I respond well as well.
Yeah. No, I think you have touched some great points, Desiree. And I think I would like to mention, like, highlight, like, few of those. Obviously, the first is Canada is the land of immigrants. Everybody has, most of Canadians have somehow at some point in their life have immigrated or their families have immigrated from some part of the world. So I think I personally also never take offense to this question because I feel like what if the person is genuinely curious about me or they are curious about my colors of my turban or they're just mm-hmm. because I have met so many people who have no idea about, you know, I'm a follower of Sikh faith and many people don't know about Sikhism. Many people I came across, you know, in Canada who are from various parts of the world and I'm happy to educate them. And like you said, there's a difference between the people who are genuinely curious and the people who are just trying to, you know, pull you down. And I think you just have to gauge accordingly. And I love that you said that sometimes you don't want to brew the negativity. You know, you don't want to really respond to that and just move on with your lives and don't get into that. And the other thing you said is, you know, working for the as a customer service agent and people shouting at you, you wouldn't believe Desiree, this podcast, the name of this podcast is the result of one of the experiences I've had. I was talking to somebody on the phone and the person, I was interviewing someone over the phone and this man in between the conversation said, "Oh my God, you have such a thick Indian accent." And to which I replied, "Sir, you also have a thick Canadian accent." And when I said that, the person was kind of taken aback and he started giggling and we never continued the conversation. So for some reason, that was back in 2019, I believe. And that not that I wanted to start a podcast back then, but that name somehow stayed in the back of my mind. And see, today, thank you to those people, everybody who gave me the name to the podcast, my thick accent.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're enjoying the content and conversations we bring to you every week, we would love for you to join our growing community. Make sure to follow us on all major podcast directories, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you consume your podcast. That way, you'll never miss an episode and you'll always stay in the loop with the latest insights and stories. And speaking of staying connected, I always, always encourage you to follow your heart, but also us on Instagram. The handle is MyThickAccent. We'll be sharing a lot more behind the scenes content, some updates, and some even fun sneak peeks. So give us a follow and let's engage even more closely there. And to all those who provided their feedback and input, thank you so much. It truly, truly shaped the direction of our podcast. And I would love to hear from any of the new folks who joined us today. Don't hesitate to reach out with any thoughts, ideas, or even suggestions for future guests. Drop us an email at hello@mythickaccent.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We can't take that away, to be honest. Behind the accent is a warrior, is a conqueror.
Love that.
You know, I was having a conversation with my friends yesterday, Canadian friends, and I asked them one question. Would you leave this country, leave everything you've acquired, everything you've ever been, and move to another country to start all over again? Mm-hmm. And all of them said, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. I said, well, so that's it. If you can't do that, then don't be too hard on people who take that bold step to leave wherever. I mean, because some people were doing really well back home.
Absolutely.
And still decided to move. And we've seen what also happened in Ukraine. You know, people could be victim of anything. You know, famine, war, anything can make people leave, can make people immigrate. And of course, some of them don't speak English. And it's not out of place to be nice to everyone. And because behind that accent is a tough tough journey.
Yeah, 100%. I always say this accent is a sign of bravery, and do not underestimate us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So Desiree, since you moved in 2019, you have got into various jobs and roles, right? Starting as, like you said, the customer service agent for various telecommunication companies. Then you also became a social media manager. But also at some point, you were telling me that you felt that healthcare is going to be a very interesting industry. And you actually went back to school and study. And later you also worked as PSW, personal support worker. And now you also teach at Fanshawe College. So tell us about all these transitions that you have had.
Yeah. And, you know, it's pretty interesting because, you know, we talked about when you come into Canada, you have to start from the scratch, you know, like, you know, start from, from the bottom. Well, we also must say this. Some people came into Canada and started at the peak. To be very honest with you, I know a few friends that came into Canada and they didn't have to start from the scratch. They just started from what they used to do or even above what they were doing.
How? Tell us like an example.
I know a few friends in the IT world, the IT industry, that maybe they were software developers back home, and then they came into Canada and they got their first job as a software developer. Okay. They didn't have to do Uber. They didn't have to do customer service. You know, they got their dream job and continued in that line.
Okay.
And even some of them, you know, even went higher in terms of profile than what they used to do back home. But for someone like me, I had to start from the scratch. Mm-hmm. Starting from the scratch means, you know, just getting anything that comes my way, you know, and gradually I got, I would say I got promoted to getting another job, which was with the telecommunication industry. I worked for Rogers, I worked for Bell Canada, and then I transitioned into going into my full role, which is digital marketing. Like you said already, I'm a digital marketing and communication specialist and, you know, a creative public relations professional. And yeah, so I deal with internal and external communication. You know, area of expertise is website optimization, media relations, content marketing development, and, you know, and all of those, you know, lovely brand identity, brand values, and all of that. I went to school in between anyways. I went to Mohawk College to study public relations, and I got my graduate certificate, and that helped me to get that job. But unfortunately, COVID happened, and I lost the job. So I was home for a little bit of time, and I just found something else to do. Because, you know, Canada, there is bills keep coming, right?
Absolutely.
So, so I just got something else quickly in a manufacturing company. And shortly after that time, COVID was still a thing, right? And there was just so much attention in the healthcare industry. And I felt, you know what, this is an opportunity for me to go into healthcare in Canada to make an impact. I've always loved healthcare anyway. So what's the minimum I can do? Then I said, okay, the minimum would be to be a personal support worker because they need a caregivers. I mean, everywhere. There's a lot of seniors in Canada, as you already know. So I decided, you know, I'm going to go back to school, got my certificate, and then became a personal support worker. While I was working in that field as well, you know, you don't stop, right? You keep pushing, you keep pushing, you keep pressing, and something else came up, else came up, and somehow, you know, you network, you volunteer, you do all of those great things in Canada, as you do, as they would expect, and I grew some very solid network, and that's how I one of those days I was just talking to my friend, and she's a lecturer in Fanshawe College. And she said, oh, you have a very solid resume. You have, I mean, from the way I speak to you, it seems like, you know, and that's how, oh, do you mind? I could recommend you for lecturing role. I said, oh, I've been dreaming all my life to be in the classroom. I love the classroom so much. I would appreciate if you recommend me. And that's one thing about Canada as well. Recommendation works. Mm-hmm. Referral is a thing. It's a big thing.
Absolutely.
And then she referred me and I was interviewed and I got the job. Mm-hmm. And it's a major of healthcare in Canada, which I have now been part of. Mm-hmm. And digital marketing background. I have my master's degree in marketing. And I really, really appreciate what I do right now. Going into the classroom and talking about the Canadian healthcare industry and talking about marketing itself. Oh, I love it. It just keeps flowing, you know. And it has been an awesome experience. I met great students. And, you know, I have I've met quite a number of international students because I teach international students and amazing people. Mm-hmm. People that came into Canada just like me.
Yeah.
And as much as I try to teach, I also try to make them understand all of the struggles and how they can be part of the system and also be successful in Canada. So they always listen to me. I have 95% attendance in class. 95% average. So almost everyone wants to come to class. Even when they have a hard time coming to class, they want to come to class because they know I'm going to share my experience. I'm going to tell my stories. I'm going to say all those beautiful things they want to hear. Mm-hmm. Because beyond doing that program, beyond paying that tuition, they also need to know that this is a country that can work for them in their favor.
Yeah.
All they need to do is keep pushing.
Absolutely.
So they love the story when I tell them, oh, I kept pushing. I've been laid off. I've been fired on my job before. And they're like, what? I say, yeah. I've, you know, done several things. I've done this. I've done that. They'd be like, what? I say, yeah. And now I'm standing in front of you to tell you all these great things. So it's a pleasure. It's an honor. And I'm not taking it for granted at all. So, yeah, so that's my journey so far in Canada. And I know it's just the beginning. I'll keep pushing and I'll get the desired result.
Absolutely. I'm sure about that. And I love what you said. You know, this country works in your favor as long as you keep pushing. I love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, because, you know, I'm sorry to say, you know, people give up sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the struggles as an immigrant. And, you know, the accent is not in your favor, the Canadian experience, you don't have it. Mm-hmm. So people sometimes, you know, want to give up and be like, oh, man, you know, you meet people, they're crying, they're having a hard time integrating. I just tell them, you know what, wipe your tears. It's not a time to cry. It's the time to push.
Yeah.
It's the time to forget all of those bad negative words people are going to tell you to your face, all those words you don't want to hear, go back to your country, and all of those racial slurs, mm-hmm. you have to push that aside.
Absolutely.
Keep your head up, keep moving, keep pushing, and you get the desired result.
Yeah, keep your head up, keep moving, keep pushing, and you get the desired result. This was going to be my next question. What advice would you give to the international students? And this is the best advice. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, apart from the jobs, you have also done a lot of volunteering work. And I have, again, had various interactions where the guests have mentioned that how volunteering has been an essential part of the Canadian journey. I want to tell us that how important was it for you and also about the project that you did with the City of London on mental health.
Yes, thank you so much, Gurasi. Volunteering cannot be overemphasized in Canada. Coming from where I came from, volunteering wasn't really a thing, right? But coming into Canada, it opened my eyes. Sure, so I could be part of this. I could be part of this in my community. I could make impact.
Yeah.
And that's how I also built my network. I volunteer even currently for different organizations. Some of them are religious organizations. Some of them are community-based organizations. Some of them are healthcare organizations. And I'm even planning to be part of more. Okay, mm-hmm. because sometimes it's when you have the time or the availability or that they call on you or you know, make yourself available to do the job they want you to do. Yeah. So it's not all the time. So it's not a 24-hour basis task. So it's once in a while. I volunteered for St. Vincent de Paul in Hamilton. I volunteered for Friendship Bench. I volunteered for NALA, which is the Nigerian Association of London and Area. Mm-hmm. And while we volunteered, that was also when we got a grant to execute the project, the mental health project sponsored mm-hmm. by the City of London. I was part of the facilitator for that project. And, you know, several other roles have played in different communities, in different organizations. If people are looking in that direction, it's one way they can integrate very fast in the system.
Yeah.
It's one way they can build their solid network.
Absolutely.
Because Canada is all about network. Oh, it's all about network. It's all about network. Yeah.
100%. It is all about network for sure. You are, Desiree, also an author, like you mentioned in the beginning, and you have written 3 books. And the one of the last ones was called The Power of System and Structure, if I'm not wrong. And you were telling me that you're also working on the 4th one, which was around the marketing as well. So tell us that where can people find these books and when is the next one coming?
Well, thank you so much, Gurasis. I always love to talk about my books. Mm-hmm. The last one is the Power of Structure and System. It's on Amazon. All my books are on Amazon. The next one is The Chronicles of Internal Marketing. The Chronicles of Internal Marketing. Basically, it's just providing an exceptional, you know, customer service experience, starting with having an excellent internal customer. Every brand must recognize that the first customer or the first customers are the staff, the employees.
Yeah.
It is when they have that understanding that they can, you know, come up with some lovely concept that works first, because the employees have to be part of the organization first before you now even start reaching out to the external customers. I'm still putting things together, but it should be out next year. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, because, you know, it takes a lot of effort to sit down and, you know, write. If it's out, it's going to be on Amazon as well. I feel it's just very easy to put it on that platform.
Yeah.
It's the biggest or one of the biggest out there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, to all the links to check out the books can be found in the show notes. So Desiree, before we get into the final segment, I just have one last quick question to ask you, that as someone who has seen different parts of the world, you know, and what do you see in Canada's future and how does it align with your aspirations?
Beautiful, beautiful question, Gurasis. I mean, you should, I don't know if you are pursuing PhD in questioning people. Yeah, you're amazing and you ask very great questions.
Thank you.
Canada is a place that gives you around, you know, great opportunities, and we never can push that aside. With my current status and where I am right now, I am looking forward to becoming renowned teacher or professor in the future. And I know Canada is going to give me that opportunity to be whatever I want to be, as long as I keep pushing, right? So so I see myself in the future coming that, and I know Canada is a place that is going to give me that great opportunity. Accent or no accent, I am not the type that, you know, let things affect me. I just move forward. I keep pushing. And I believe, yeah, it's just a matter of time. I'll get my desired result. Yeah. So once again, future is great. Canada is going to be Canada. It's going to be an awesome country. It's welcoming people. I mean, I think Canada has grown to 40 million. 40 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is huge. When I came in, it was 36 million. Mm-hmm. And so in close to 5 years, they've grown by 4 million in different, you know, parts of the country. So that is really great. So it's a country that is growing, welcoming new people, welcoming, you know, immigrants. Very welcoming country. So, and I hope to be part of that growth. I hope to be part of that growth as the country gives us the opportunity to grow.
Awesome. I love that answer, and more power to you for sure. I'm sure you will get everything. Like you said, you are continuing to push and you'll continue to push and you'll reach wherever you want to go for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Desiree, now we're in the final segment of the podcast. I call it Beneath the Accent. I'm going to ask a couple of questions. You can answer them in one word or a sentence or however you feel like. The idea is just to know more about you. So ready?
Yes, please.
So first is, what advice would you give to someone who is struggling with the cultural shock and the new cultural experiences that they're having?
Great question. Culture shock is normal. And I think everyone should realize there has to be that cultural intelligence to accept other people's culture as part of your own. I would say, you know what? Embrace the new place you found yourself. Embrace the new identity that they're trying to pass across to you. Because trust me, this country has grown for millions of years. So there's a way they do things here. There's a way you do things back home, and it's not the same. And if you want to thrive in this country, you have to be open. You have to be open. That's the that's the big word. You have to be open and find a way to integrate into the system. Well, if it's a bad one, there are some bad culture shock. Of course, you find a way to help make it better.
Perfect. Love the answer. The next is, if you could give advice to your younger self, Desiree, tell us, like, at what age would you like to give an advice? And what would be that advice?
Yeah, deep question. Looking back into my life, I'll give an advice to my 20-year-old.
Okay.
Because I think that was when everything really, really changed. For me, right? Because coming out of high school, you know, graduated and I was waiting to go into college or university. I made some wrong decisions, right? And things didn't go well as I should expect. I'll advise to make the right decision. And again, one other advice I would have given to myself was I would have loved to come to Canada much longer than I came now.
Okay.
If I had the opportunity, I would have made that decision way, way, way. Because even at 20, I know a few friends that came into Canada to study. But, you know, then there wasn't much information. We saw Canada as a very, very far away, cold country. And, you know, it didn't make us make the quick decision because there is so much you can gain. If you come into a country like this at a younger age, rather than coming when you're 40, you're 45, you know, 46, you know what I mean? So there's little, there isn't so much you can do or achieve at that time anymore. But notwithstanding, North America, Canada always tell you, you can be anything at any time.
If you could change one thing about the immigration system in Canada, what would it be?
It would be to give preference to everyone, everyone, and not selective. Selective picking, is that the best English to use?
Sure.
you know, you're giving preference to some people over some other people. That shouldn't be. Maybe they will say, you know, well, oh, we don't do that, but somehow we know, oh, some countries get some more privileges than some other ones shouldn't be.
Yeah. And one of them, which I absolutely hate, is like we Indians had to do IELTS, which is the International English Learning Language Test. And we had to do that before coming. I think it's the same for Nigeria, I believe. You guys had to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But then there are some countries where they don't speak English at all. And they just can apply for the visa and they can come without doing the IELTS, which is totally unfair in my opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you do it for A, you must do it for all.
Yeah.
So it should be a fair game to everyone.
Yeah. If you had to describe yourself as a creature, what would it be?
I'll describe myself as an eagle.
Okay.
A bird. And The eagle is a very, very amazing creature because it doesn't really mingle with other kind of birds. It's a special breed. It can soar really high. And it symbolizes inspiration, release from bondage, speed and longevity, you know, pride and loyalty. Those are all the symbols linked to an eagle. And those are, if I want to talk about myself, I am a big inspiration to myself. I have flown, or how do I say? Yeah, I've gone past any kind of bondage in my life. So there are so many things that could have held me down, so many things that could have, you know, put me down. But, you know, I overcame and I had victory. Longevity, I'm alive today, despite all my struggles, despite living in different countries, despite my accent, I'm alive. I'm still going. And speed, I hate sluggishness. I don't have any tolerance for sluggishness. I love speed. Oh, too much. I love speed. Unfortunately, you have to learn to tolerate, right? You know, some things or some places or some people, you know, sometimes, but I love speed. That's how I'm going to describe myself. I'll describe myself as bird and eagle.
Okay, perfect. And I believe your children have a tough dad who doesn't like the sluggishness.
Oh, they know daddy likes it. Fast. Get your shoes, get your clothes. You know, I play with them. We have great time as a family. But they also know when I switch. It means, so.
Okay. Is there something, Desiree, you recently bought and you now regret?
What would that be? Yeah, I would say yes. I invested into cryptocurrencies.
Okay.
Last year, thereabout, and I made a loss. And yeah, I'm the type that usually don't want to be part of those kind of this one is moving right now. Yeah. This is the hot cake in the market. This is what is selling right now. I usually don't, but there was too much pressure from friends. Desiree, you should, you know, this is selling right now. You could buy Bitcoin. You could buy this currency. You could buy that currency. And they make you, and I said, okay, you know what? Okay, let me invest some thousands of dollars in it. And I did. And a few weeks later, it came down. But I lost so much and I regret it even till today.
So what's next on your bucket list? Apart from going to Nigeria and Cyprus, what's next on your bucket list?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking to make a trip to Cancun, Mexico. Okay. I heard it's a very lovely, they have very lovely resort. It's a very beautiful, very beautiful place to be. I have a couple of friends that have visited and they said very great things about the place.
Okay. Who's your go-to person when you feel stuck?
I am a spiritual person. So I have some spiritual leaders that I look up to and they are somehow people that I talk to when I'm stuck or when I need some advice. And sometimes I just close my eyes and just pray, God, see me through. God, I need help. And, you know, help always come.
Absolutely. Are there any movies or shows that you like to watch over and over again?
I love Family Feud.
Okay.
That's Steve Harvey.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
I love it so much. I mean, I love the dude himself. He's a great guy. And I love the show. I love The Three Idiots.
Oh, that's an Indian movie.
Oh, yeah. I love it so much. I mean, I could see it again. And I even love that guy particularly. I forgot
Amir Khan?
His name now. Yeah. Khan. He's a great guy. He did one recently, too, on... talking about religion, it's called PK.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Oh, I love PK. To me, is one of the most underrated movies of all time because it went deep. it went deep. There are some things about that movie that you need a deep insight for you to understand.
Yeah, a lot of like uncomfortable topics were very openly discussed.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah, so that's a great movie that I love. I love documentaries a lot. You know, just getting to know, like I said, I love new places. I love new people. I love exploration. I love adventure. So, yeah, sometimes I just want to see something about Malaysia. I just want to see something about, oh, why do some handsome people like Gurasses wear turban? Why? You know, I just want to know more, right? Know, oh, a little bit of more. Oh, okay, why do people eat in this certain way? Why do they serve their food? Oh, how do they cook this food? You know, I just love, and documentary is one way I get to learn some of these things. Yeah.
So speaking of food, is there any one dish or food or something that you can eat for the rest of your life?
Well, to be honest, I don't have any favorites.
Okay.
I eat anything that comes my way, and I like to try other people's food, other culture food. I love it. So I really don't have any preference. But if there's anything I won't get tired of eating, it would be maybe jollof rice. Jollof rice is a local
It's the
Nigerian
best
meal.
For sure. I've tried it.
Have you tried jollof rice before?
It, yes.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. And you can cook it in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, you could put vegetables on it, you could put chicken, you know, you could just improvise as you like. I love jollof rice.
Okay, so describe Canada in one word or a sentence.
Canada is amazing. In one word, you said. Canada is amazing. It's freedom. This is a country that allows you to be anything you want to be. There are several religions here recognized. We have different communities. We have the Indian community, right? We have the Nigerian community. We have the Somalian community.
Yeah.
We have the Sudanese community. We have the Turkish. I've met different communities and everyone thriving, everyone doing well. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I try to tell my people back home. I live in a country that has brought different people together. I mean, different people from different parts of the world, different languages, and everyone is living well, living as brothers and sisters. So why should we be fighting with ourselves back home? So I try to tell them these things from time to time. So again, Canada is freedom. Canada is amazing.
Love that. And if you could leave me, Desiree, with one piece of advice, what would it be?
It's simple, and I've said that before. Keep pushing. You be a go-getter. Go after your dream. Mm-hmm. Accents are a reflection of a person's linguistic background.
Yep.
And, you know, they could carry cultural or regional connotations. However, beyond that accent is intelligence. Beyond that accent is a conqueror. Beyond that accent is a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your dreams are, whatever your goals are, keep pushing and you get your dream result.
All right. Thanks for that. And how would you describe your experience of being on this podcast?
Amazing. I mean, this is one of the best things I have done.
Oh, wow.
Since I came into Canada. I've done a couple, you know, media sessions, but this is one of the best because it gives me the opportunity to talk about me, to talk about my identity, to talk about my personality, to talk about my struggles, to talk about how I overcame my struggles. So this is a wonderful platform. And I mean, I didn't think twice to want to be part of this. I didn't think twice at all.
Yeah.
And thanks to you, Gracias. Thanks to you for putting this together.
No, thank you for being on the podcast and adding value to my listeners. And I just want to conclude by saying to our listeners that next time someone asks you, where are you from? Consider it as an invitation to connect and educate rather than taking offense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ezra, for being on the podcast and adding value to my listeners. Thank you.
I really appreciate you having me. Again, it's been an awesome experience. I'm going to tell everyone, oh, I went on podcast today with Gurasis talking about my accent. Do I really have an accent? Sometimes I ask that question. Yeah. Do I really have an accent? And they'd be like, ah, yeah. You do.
Well, I think we all do. We all have our unique accents, which are unique to ourselves. And that's what makes us us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Hey, listener. Thank you for making it to the end. I highly, highly appreciate you listening to the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't as yet. And please share with your friends or anybody you think would like it. And like I always say, we encourage you to follow your heart, but also us on Instagram. The handle is mythickaccent. You can also leave us a review or write to us at hello@mythickaccent.com. So stay tuned and let's continue knowing each other beneath the accent.